You are now listening to Okay Now Listen, a bi-weekly show where we chat about what's on our minds, what we're binging, and what's blowing up our timelines. I'm Scotty Beam, a media personality, content creator, music enthusiast, and a wing connoisseur still, yes.
And I'm Sylvia Obel. I'm a culture writer, host, producer, and lover of Beyonce. Still, yes. Pray for Ivy Park Bay. Please.
Ooh, please, no, God, I mean, you send know, me like, a box. I just
want
Ivy
like a crumb. I actually know I really want that brown crop top one that's loose, because it's so hard to find like a loose crop top that like will hide your back fat and all that other stuff. So like I was like, ooh, this looks really cute. But I've never been able to even get my hands on Ivy Park with my own money. Like even when I'm like, right, I'm trying to buy this, I can't do it, let alone get the little influencer box that some of us, one of us, has already been blessed with.
Yes.
And so maybe she'll just allow my prayer to get past
hers. You can call
me.
You can call me.
Can she just get her prayer passed?
Ivy Park Beam.
Can I get one? Excuse me. Can we just pray for that Sylvia gets
Hello.
One now?
Listen, I appreciate you. I love you as a friend, Sylvia, but I also will be looking out for myself. Ivy Park Beam is in the building. Please, I ask you, send my friend some like, you know, merch, but also think of me too.
All is fair with love and Beyonce.
Listen, I love you.
All right. But yes.
Okay. First things first, Sylvia. Mm-hmm. I gave you game last episode.
Boy, boy, did Twitter 100%. Not let me forget it.
100%. We need an update. The people want to know if you started building the roster. The people need to know. Let's go. And I need to know, because I didn't talk to you for a whole damn week. So let me tell me something.
I mean, listen, I feel like step one, it's like, you know, when you're doing a science experiment, like first when you got like gather data. You got to, like, gather, you know, get out in the pool and get your little test. It's like, I feel like I've, you know, trying. Week one has really been spent trying to open myself up to meeting people who could be on my roster in a safe way. Because it's hard. Like, in my defense, we're in COVID. Right. So I did spend all but one day in my apartment since our last conversation. And that one day I dipped my toe out, you know what I mean, was to be with some, you know, like a small group of fellowship Aggies, you know, because, and we'll get to that, but I'm trying.
But you don't need to step out.
Yeah, no, you like, I'm really, like, out. Yeah, I'm that's okay. Limited. I also signed up for a dating app. Our EP Jasmine Lawson was not playing about holding me, her, my neck to the fire. So, right. I, you know, we're going to see how that goes. You know what I mean? And I will say, you want to talk about check-ins and updates. I mean, you did claim you were going to help me meet some niggas, Scotty, virtually. You did say that. You said
yes,
that it's been 2 weeks. There's like a lot. Apparently,
woman,
there's a line of friends behind me who are also waiting for their turn.
I am a woman of my word, but I did not know how mediocre some niggas are until I went on live and I asked for them to jump in my DM and talk to me about who they are. Some niggas couldn't even scratch the surface. But I don't, you know, I don't need depth. But for my Sylvia, I need a bit more depth than what they were giving. And so I said, okay.
So you saw how ghetto it was.
No. I knew that it was ghetto, Sylvia. I always knew the ghetto exists. I just thought that I had better on my profile. And I did. Who the fuck am I to think that I had superb niggas
quality
following
niggas
me? Absolutely not. So
I feel like the quality niggas also are afraid to would be afraid to put themselves on the auction block, literally.
That's true.
Your IG live
afraid perhaps of rejection and stuff like that. But you know, man up, man the fuck up. Like I got some. I mean, like Sylvia, I'm just yeah. Like I have some fire ideas. I just need. Like, just give me 3-4 quality niggas to give you. And then from there, you will do whatever you want to do. But I'm just gonna end it.
Yeah. Well, maybe we don't do it so publicly. Maybe I know I would love it to be less public. Maybe you just reach out, like, you know, maybe we just do it the old fashioned way. Instagram live removed.
But well, maybe I can do an Instagram live talking about talking about the niggas that I want. Hopefully this reach, and I'll save it on my profile, because last time I forgot to save it and put it on there and keep it there, because people were like, what were you talking about? I was tagged in something. What are you talking about? And I was like, I don't have time to be explaining shit.
And you can tell them that they can message you privately if they feel like they are.
Yes, I will do that. So
that way they may, because maybe they're like me, horrified at the idea of doing this publicly. So
fine, Sylvia, we will respect your wishes. But I am getting on that motherfucking live, and I'm going to come with a list of demands.
I'm going to have to put my notifications on for your ass, because I missed it last time.
The last time. Oh, yeah, you missed that one. Yeah. My list of demands. But, you know, there's that. But I'm glad that you decided to get that dating app together. I can't wait. And I also need to see it. Can you please screenshot what the fuck it says? What's the bio? What's going on? Like, what are you saying?
You want receipts?
Yes.
You want receipts? All right. Well, I'm the one I applied to, we ain't gonna do no free. I ain't gonna say this until I know it's good. But let's just say it requires secondary verification and application approval. So I'm waiting for that, because it's like one of those that are not just open for everybody. I'm dipping in step at a time. It's the one Jasmine had me found. So
I like this.
Once they approve your girl,
free to play.
I will run all the copy by you. You can select my photos.
So excited. Oh, yes. I can't wait. And we doing that one in the bathtub, too. All right. Let's move on. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go on her Instagram and find the tub picture I'm talking about with her in the rose. Was there a rose?
Jemele Hill for that.
Yes.
Anyway, back to today, because honestly, it's a rough week for me.
Why is it a rough week?
Black folks, check on your Aggie friends if you have any. We're not okay. We're not okay. And like, it's...
the fact that it's so sincere that I dead ass was like...
She said, wait, what happened?
What happened? Wait, what's going on? I thought we was going off script. I'm like, wait, what's happening? What's going on? Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, this is off script, but the script was scripted properly because our producers know I am not okay. And when I realized that this recording was actually definitely taking place the exact week that my ass would have been getting prepared to go to Greensboro, North Carolina and live it the fuck up. It's like, Jesus. You know, it was still in my calendar, Scotty. That's where it hurt. It's like, you know, like when you clear things off, but then there's little evidence crumbs that you forgot to sweep through. Like the hotel reservation was still saved to my calendar, even though I got my money back. Thank God.
Of course.
But it was like, Google Cal, what do I have to do this weekend? Oh, your stay at the Sheraton Greensboro? No, bitch, I ain't going.
I'm hurt. I am. First of all, I know we say this every fucking episode, but I have plans. I have plans. We should change this episode. I mean, this whole podcast. I have plans.
That's when you talk. Okay, I have plans.
Okay, I have plans. But like, so this year was supposed to be the year I show the fuck out. You hear me? Last year.
Oh, this year as opposed to last?
Last year I didn't go. Last year I was I did the homecoming tour with Pepsi and I was working. I wasn't able to go to Spellhouse homecoming. So I missed it. I was like, you know, I gotta grind. I gotta work I gotta get this money. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. So that next year I could show the fuck out. I could buy my own little section. I could buy my own little bottles. It's gonna be crazy. And then this shit happens. And I have all this saved homecoming money that I
just burning a hole in your pocket. You know what you can do? You know what the alum listening, those people are gonna be like, donate it.
I know.
Give back.
But here's the joke.
Give back to your HBCU.
Here's the joke. I didn't graduate. So y'all can have No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, y'all. I'm kidding. I'm going to donate.
She's a little serious.
I'm a little serious because y'all niggas didn't give me not a degree, but I still give back. I still donate too because HBCUs are super important and it's essential, and I do want my kids to go. And I want my kids to go. So in order to keep that going, I have to keep
want them to exist. Yes. And I mean, I think that that's a real thing, because these homecomings, just to talk about the impact, even just beyond our lack of ability to have fun, this is the big money makers for the cities they're in, especially for somebody like me who, like, my school's not in like a predominantly, like, it's not in a DC or in an Atlanta. Yeah. It's in Greensboro, North Carolina. Like, what else is happening there that's not Aggie related? Right. You know, I know, like, it's the same way for like the FAMU students or people whose schools are in just like random cities. Mm-hmm. It's like their big, like, one of their top money makers of the year, both for the university and the city. So, like, a lot of people have been talking about, like, you know, there's been a lot of like, how can we fill the gap, virtual homecoming type stuff. I know, like, A&T has apparently stolen Jasmine Lawson's hashtag, as she made it clear to me, about stay at home coming with the Beyonce thing. But that's a hashtag I've been seeing, stay at home coming. Like, they're trying to do virtual events. I know you've seen it too, like brands like BET, YouTube.
YouTube had a great, had a pretty great one. Like, I watched it. It was fun to watch. I had a good time. It had me, you know, what YouTube did is had me like sit there and reminisce on all the good times. And I had such an amazing time just looking back on my Facebook pictures. I was looking at my Facebook pictures and watching the YouTube special. But, you know, we might not be able to turn up at our homecomings this year, but we can at least reflect back on some of our best moments, Sylvia, from last homecomings, and also give some love to our HBCUs.
You're right, because you know I love to get on your nerves about how much I love some North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University. And the Aggie pride is alive and well, y'all. For those who can't see me, know I'm geared up. I'm strapped up in the merch right now. AT on my chest. 1891 on my chest. The original mascot dog, not the new one, on my chest. Listen. So let's get into it, because I miss my Aggies and I just would love to talk and reminisce. So let's do it.
So before we get into our walk down memory lane, our homecoming lane, some folks might have never been to a homecoming or even known what it is. Like, so Sylvia, because you're great at explaining, can you share with the people a little bit, the black people, not the white people. I want you to give the black explanation about what these homecomings are all about.
Yes, and you know, first and foremost, I'd love to pour some out for the black people who never got a chance to experience HBCU homecoming pre-COVID.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry that your community failed you in that way.
Stop
Even if you didn't. I don't even mean that you didn't go. Not that you didn't attend, but that you never even went to a friend's homecoming, like, later. Like, your friend never brought you. Like, your HBCU friend never brought you to homecoming. Or, you know what I mean? Like, that sense. Like, everybody has the right to go to a school they want to. That's not what I mean. So, you know, we voted to be free. We're free. Make your choice. But I'm just saying that if you have not attended, or at least got to, via Instagram story, virtually experience somebody else experiencing homecoming, my apologies. Homecoming is technically about a football game, but only those of us like A&T who have good football teams actually acknowledge that part of homecoming. But, you know, it's usually based on a certain weekend. They kind of spread at least the HBCU ones out. I think they allow us to maybe have 2-3 a week, because they're usually all in October. They spread us out because you can't have too many niggas in one spot. It's going to be an issue. But homecoming is really just a time where alumni come back to campus and we celebrate our school pride. And, you know, so we root on the team. There's step shows. There's concerts where, like, real artists come. Like, our HBCU concerts are really like homecoming concerts, or where you got to see your favorite rappers and rappers for like the free $5-$10 tops. Like, I've seen Rick Ross, T-Pain, Jeezy, Drake and Nicki Minaj, like J. Cole, obviously, because I went to school in North Carolina. Like, there's so many stars that I got to see that I would now have to pay hundreds of dollars to see that I got to see for free. They were coming to us. That's right. Us. And I know some schools, Howard, would like to make you think that they're the only school that celebrities go to, but that is incorrect.
No.
They are at most of the top 5 to 6 HBCUs. You will find big stars there. We all have like famous alum because, you know, the Black arts movement is big. Like I think so technically, yes, it's about coming back to campus for a football game and there's tailgating and fish fries and the yard is packed and people on the plots drinking and there's parties that surround it throughout the week. And like, you know, some schools have a full calendar week. Like I know A&T does. We start with Sunday with the gospel to ask ahead of time for God to forgive us for how we're about to act for the rest of the week. There's a pep rally, you know, there's a comedy show, there's all these things. So it's that in like structure, but spiritually, it's the time where we get to go back and go back into the bubble that only really exists at HBCU campus, where you are the majority again. You're the majority. You are surrounded by Blackness. I see a lot of memes, especially right now in 2020, like, where in the world is it safe to be Black? I don't think there is a place, but I feel the safest when I am at my HBCU campus, surrounded by people in authority who understand, respect, and are looking out. We look out for each other, and it's like, it's fellowship. That's the word I'm looking for. It's the fellowship of just coming together with people who knew you before, knew you when, have history with, and just love you. It's like a big-ass cookout, but huge. Yeah. Essentially, and multiple days, and it's a great time, and yeah. So homecoming, it's one of those things that you really have to experience to really understand, but there's nothing like it. There's no place like homecoming, you know, like that's really it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, even though I only spent 2.5 years at Clark Atlanta University, it was probably the best 2 years, 2.5 years.
don't count that extra semester, because Lord knows they charge you for it. Hello? They charge you for that semester. Hello? So you can count it.
So it was extremely special. I always try to make it back for homecomings because aside from, you know, whatever was happening with me at Clark at the time, mentally and emotionally, I have built some of the strongest bonds at that school ever. And I could never, ever, ever have a distaste in my mouth for any HBCU, especially that's created an experience like mine. I am so grateful. And when I say like, I am so grateful, these friends, the people that I've met, the experiences that I've had, literally stay with me to this. I am 30 years old and I still can laugh and smile just thinking about some of the times I've had at that school, some of the most endearing moments, the relatable moments, the moments where I felt like I was alone. I wasn't alone. We've had deep, in-depth talks with each other that I just know I still haven't gotten anywhere else. You know, yeah. Especially when I was learning about myself at that time, learning that there were people like me that were similar to me, that had some of the same experiences, really helped me grow. And it didn't necessarily help me grow at that moment, but I took those things with me for later on in life to apply, and it worked out. So when I go back to homecoming, it really is a mental check-in for me because my friends are there, and it is self-care, talking to your friends, checking in and like updating.
It's spiritual. People think I'm playing. I mean that, like, yes. It's good for your soul.
Yes.
Like I remember one homecoming, the one time I've been laid off, like I remember it was like a week or two before homecoming 1 year. And I was like, damn, should I not go? Because like, now I don't have as much money, you know, like I whatever, like I, you know, it was like all these things. I mean, you know, I was just thinking like, should I go? And I remember my mom saying like, no, you need to go now because like you need to be around that love experience and know that you had a life before this job, you're gonna have a life after it. Like
absolutely.
All of those things, like it's real because it's going back to your core group, like you said. The friends I've made at ANT are lifetime friends. Like yes. These are my girls, like we at this point, because like you said, we're 30, it's been about 10 years of friendship, a decade like friendship with these with people, these men and women. It's not just that these are just women, that, but like it's a bond that it's kind of like, I guess like when couples go back to where they first met, you know what I mean? But like friendships, it's like you go back to where it started for all of us, and that common bond unites people in a way that is really unexplainable, but it's forever. And I think that's why we say, like, whatever pride, like, everybody has their little chant for us. It's Aggie Pride. That's what that means. Like, we take pride in this shit.
And also, like, seeing the growth in people. Like,
yes.
Shit, y'all. Let me tell y'all something. The growth, even, like, my friends that know me from college, every time they see me, they're like, yo, I am so proud of you because... You see the growth. It is there.
Right.
It is apparent. You know, I think all of us had our own shit, you know, and we saw right through the shit, and we saw you do some fucked up shit, but we saw you grow out of that.
And the people can really be proud of you. It's not like people who just followed you on Twitter, like in the middle of it or whatever. They've seen the evolution of you. Yes. And that's family. That makes people family. And it is like you have those inside jokes that you can't make in your regular day life in your workplace that you can make there with these people because they get the references. But to drive the point home, going to an HBCU, I know we both feel no regrets. Best decision I ever made.
Zero.
Was to go to an HBCU. There's nothing like it, and it was a beautiful 4 years. And I think, again, that's why homecoming feels so special. It's because you get to go back and have a taste of that. Because when you go into the real world, you realize how much we took for granted that bubble. Because, I mean, they tell you. They say, they're like, listen, it ain't going to be like this when you get out of here, bruh. You're going to have to whatever. But I loved my A&T upbringing. I love my professors. I write and acknowledge them all the time because it's the level of care and nurturing that happens even there. It's like they just get that we're working at a disadvantage and like and that they get how things have been set up against us. So like it really, it's the fun, like it has the additives that we need that I feel like everybody should get to experience if you're a black student in this country.
Yes, yes. Especially if you have to walk in with your blackness all the time. Take a motherfucking break. You know, you don't have to do that here.
Outside of from getting a great education, you know, HBCUs also know how to throw a goddamn party, right? And homecoming is definitely has nothing to do with none of the educational stuff we spoke about and everything to do.
Nothing.
With the partying, we ain't even gonna stunt. We're not gonna cap here on this podcast.
I'm not lying to you here.
What I do love about, like, yes, there's a lot of rivalries, like, within the HBCU community about our homecomings. We joke and we laugh. It's very much like that shit where it's like, these are my cousins, right? Like, the other HBCUs were cousins. We can talk about each other.
But you better not come out your motherfucking mouth and say anything. Absolutely not.
If you ain't go to not one HBCU, absolutely you're not allowed not. To make the jokes.
You're not allowed to have the beef. I recently cursed out, I swear, I recently cursed out a whole ass Uber driver because he wanted to come outside his mouth and talk about why he went to King University and, you know, why he's happy he didn't go to Lincoln University. Watch your mouth.
Watch your mouth.
Yeah. And then by the end of the ride, our dialogue was so great that he said that he's going to try to talk his son into going.
And that's the change we want to see in the world. Thanks for being the change there, Scotty.
Thank you. Thank
Back
you.
Back to these rivalries, though.
Sorry. But
back to rivalries.
I'm not big on them.
There are some that are better than others, and I will say, I'm going to be gracious here. Obviously, Spellhouse is in that mix. You know, y'all have y'all great years at the AUC down there. I mean, I understand it takes three universities to match our one university's energy, but you guys get it done.
You cannot speak because you have not went. I need y'all to go. First of all, I went on a whole ass tour. I went on a homecoming tour last year.
When we come back, you're coming to G-Ho.
I'm going to G-Ho.
And I'm going to Spell House.
I need to see it.
We will create a score board.
And I want everything to be
a criteria roster.
From the fine ass frats. Okay, I mean, and down. Like, I need them all because...
Yes, and I know, like, I know, for example, that there's every... I feel like homecomings have categories, right? Like, are the parties lit? Usually always, like... But also, I think some of the narrower home... Like, the narrower points that sometimes give other people the edge is, like... One thing I can say about G-Ho is, like, we're welcoming to everybody. Ain't no, like... You have to have gone there to enjoy it or, like, to understand how it operates. Like, I feel like sometimes, like, there's some HBCU alum. I mean, places where, like, I've been in D.C. during Howard's homecoming. Those are the only times I've ever, like, actually been there. I've never purposefully gone. But there's times, like, for example, last year I was there for a wedding. It was a Hampton wedding during Howard's homecoming, which to me was a special kind of petty that they did it in D.C. But I literally... was like, it's so much of this, like, because it's a big city, I can even see the differences in, like, when your homecoming is in a city where there's always going to be other stuff going on versus being in a city where it's solely devoted to your school and what y'all are doing. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the things that are do's and don'ts for every homecoming, because I know that getting the party tickets ahead of time is definitely a do.
Yes.
Because them motherfuckers sell out. Because the capacity,
and that's when you have to call the fucking promoter, the niggas that you know, because they promise tickets to every fucking body. Oh, I got you. Nah, I got you. Definitely. What you doing tonight? Nah,
get that shit in writing. Get that
for
ticket
real
before you get there.
Don't trust.
Get the whatever verification
nigga
you need. Don't wait till the night of that party, because that nigga, his phone's gonna be off. And he's going to be inside having a good time, right, drinking the money, the drinks that everybody's money paid for.
Facts.
So, again, I say to you,
please
get your tickets secured. Secure your tickets, because nobody wants to be that person in the crew who gets left at the hotel, because you will left at the hotel.
See, the thing is, I will say that there are people that don't get left at the hotel, but get left at the door, because they'd be like, oh, no. I'm just going to show up at the door and I'm going to know somebody and then I'm going to get right in. I'm going to be fine. Just, you know, we just all going to walk in, because people think that if we walk in with like a
crowd. We walk in together.
Yo. And I've seen the humblest moments where niggas is like,
humblest.
Nah, I'm sorry. You got to wait.
I did your homework all through freshman to senior year, nigga. I did your algebra homework, and you can't let me into this party?
Yo,
hell
I
no.
Let you have my cash card, and you mean to tell me that you can't
have
get
all
me
my
in?
Aggie bucks?
Damn, my flex dollars. Damn, that's crazy. So yeah,
it's wild, but yes, it's like the episode of Girlfriends when they try to get into the club.
Yo.
And like buy it and Tony. That is the closest thing to what it'd be like at these doors, okay?
That's,
it is
I could take you,
hilarious.
I could take you. I do not know him. I don't.
But I would like to say, as somebody who left college to went to a big city like New York, experienced industry Hollywood level parties. Like at this point, I've been to the Oscars, my nigga. So at this point, I can better judge how childish it is of certain people to hold lines when the club is empty on the inside. Just let niggas in. Like,
oh,
just let them in. Like, you know,
thing.
Like, early, like, just stop trying to look like the hottest party at homecoming because the club line is wrapped around the block. Like, nigga, it's homecoming. Just let people get in and have a good time,
nah,
bro. We're not here for the pomp and circumstance sometimes.
It's because they be having that whole, free drinks before 11, and so to be holding this motherfucking line that is
till 11
of right till 11
11:02, like, you win that bitch,
right? And then that's when you see the line moving, you're like, damn nigga, like y'all let five women sip on some champagne,
drink for free,
yo, sip some alizé just so that y'all can save money. Get out my face, yo. I'd be so mad. The club promoters are my nemesis. I cannot stand club promoters. Shut the fuck up. Shut up. Ooh. Oh, please. This is a don't. Do not Please do not. You want to make it to the end of homecoming here alive and on this earth. Please don't break no stroll line. I ask you all the time. It is not your business. I don't care how drunk you are. I don't care if you didn't see them behind you. I don't care. Be aware of every surrounding that you have, all your surroundings.
Your back and your front.
If you break that stroll line, there is nothing that I can do, that Sylvia can do. There's nothing we can do.
And the training is hard because every school knows certain stroll songs that were like those people's songs.
Yes.
So like I just hear the song and I know to move out the way. If you knew, you'd be like, oh, that's my shit. Nope. Like, no, girl.
No, this ain't your shit. Not today.
You're going to dance. We're going to go get a drink and we're going to dance by the bar right now real quick because it's about to get
watch some stroll.
Dangerous.
No.
You hear a boot hit the ground, child. Wow, run.
You hear fuck the mother niggas because I'm down for my, you know, hey, I should move out. I should move out my way because the alphas are coming. Or she got a donk. You hear that? You know that the deltas are here and you should probably steer clear because they will mollywop your ass all up and through that homecoming.
Was that their song? I feel like everybody has other things. Like, I think, like, I know it's that's how I know I'm getting old too. Like, I know Back That Ass Up was somebody's. I feel like it might have been the deltas. I know they definitely danced to Diva Beyonce that year because, like, that came out, like, while we were in college and, like, you know, they called themselves, like, the Devastating Divas. So, like, that kind of stuff, like, I know the songs when I hear them, but sometimes it's like, oh, whatever. But speaking of, since you brought it to the Greek world for a second there, who has the best plot at your homecoming? What is the plot that everybody is running to for the food or the better drinks? Like, what is that situation like at Clark or Spell House?
I like to keep my options open. I try to make sure that I grab a little of everything from everywhere.
I see. You're going to be diplomatic.
I'll tell you where I end up. I end up at the Alpha Tent every time because that's where you go to look for the men. I'm not saying what kind of men because I'm not about to get shot or in trouble. I'm minding my business. But I will have you know, I get my Q oil. I do. I take that very seriously. I have to go get the Q oil. But
packs a punch.
Right.
It packs a punch.
For a good time, I head all over to the Alpha Tent because that's where the
eye candy is. I usually end up at the Alpha Plot too. I do think that, like, the convenient thing about A&T is that the plots are all very close. Like, literally, there's a side, like a little skinny street separating, like, the Alphas from the Q plots. Like, at A&T, it's Mu Psi and BE. Like, they're right across the street from each other. And, like, the Kappas are, like, plots, like, right on the other side of the steps that everybody stands on, like, in the yard pictures. And then, like, up the hill is like the Delta plot, down the hill is the AKA plot, but they're all like, it's on like this row, I guess if you will, like this like street, like I think of it as a New York City block. Mm-hmm. It's just all on the same block, essentially. So it's like, that's the pictures at Jiho that you see where it's just crowds of people down like on one street and like one hill, it's like everybody's on all the plots and you're just seeing everybody and it's just a very... Everybody ends up at the plots after the game, essentially. That's, like, the main thing. There's definitely, like, you know, I quite enjoy the fish plates that the Qs make at A&T. Mm-hmm. I stop and get a plate of that, for sure. Thank you to all of the men who have provided me nourishment. Because it's important. You want to talk about a rule of homecoming. Eat, coat your stomach, because it is a marathon, not a sprint. And especially the Saturday of the football game, because we're starting so early, you start in the day and you end when you die. Mm. And it is it's a long road. And as we get older each year, I realize how much I've modified my evenings. Because usually I could do the football game and the party at night. Like, now I can only do, like, I'll do the day party Friday, the night party Friday, the yard Saturday. I stopped doing the Saturday night parties because we we prefer to start going to now things in which we now as older people can like, oh, let's go to a bar. Let's hang out on somebody's like somebody running the big ass Airbnb. Let's all have a kickback there. Like we kind of have made a slightly chiller. Like there's still a Saturday night party happening for the kids who can handle that. There's several. There's a ton. Me and my friends have stopped going to a Saturday night party a couple years ago because we are tired and the yard has worn us out. It's worn us out and we're tired and we're drunk.
Another do mind your business. And I mean this wholeheartedly. Mind your business. If I disappear, don't ask. Don't call.
Ooh.
It happens.
Oh, you want to talk about people disappearing now, at Hong Kong?
Say, your friend, it's important to, like, I know, like, we try to make sure we stay together during tailgate. Tailgate is the time. Like, Friday, usually, you know, you want to chill out still a little bit. You get drunk, yes, everything, but you want to make it to your Airbnb, you know, or your hotel so that you can get ready in the morning. Saturday is the most important day. I don't care what any, to me, tailgate is the it for me. So,
no, yeah, that is the day. Yeah, that's the day everybody you're going to see everybody. Right, not everybody's going to make buy a ticket to the party.
Right.
Some people are going to get caught up at the door, right, like we said.
Right.
Some people got too drunk at the day party, didn't make it. The only place that everybody's making it is the yard on Saturday.
That is free. That's why. So now.
That is why. And they can bring their kids.
Right. But see, I haven't even seen that yet. I want to see that. But
oh, the people bringing babies.
Yeah, bring their babies. But what I was gonna say is, you know, friends, mind your business. If I say, yo, I'm out, I give you the sign
just
off.
Just let the bitch know. That's all, yeah, I'm saying. Like, get,
I have to tell my friend
one or person
or
in
text
the crew
the group
know.
Chat. Like, text the group chat. Yo, you know where I'm going. I'm out.
And but we also know that reception is terrible. The day of the yard on most yards because there's too many of people.
That is true.
In one given space.
That is true.
So you really do got to give the whole dead. Like, hey, look into my eyes, sis. I'm going to see you later.
I'm going to see you later. I'm out. Right.
So because there is a lot of yard politics too, because we all know the awkwardness sometimes of not just running into people who you may have hooked up with in the past or exes, but also like there's the people who like, could have been, should have been, maybe.
Oh yeah, because you was in a relationship. Because you was in a relationship in college, and you knew you had you a few niggas that you was like, if I wasn't in this relationship, I would definitely hit. So yes, those were the ones that, especially if y'all are both single, why not? Like it's homecoming. We'll never talk about this again. I'm not saying that I did it. I've never done that, which is
not
crazy.
Saying that she hasn't done it.
I haven't done that. That's crazy.
You haven't say. What?
I haven't done that. I have not hooked up with somebody saying? From like from college that I was like, ooh, you know, one day I'ma hit you. One day I'ma hit you.
Have you not hooked up with anybody, period, during homecoming?
I've hooked up with a person during homecoming and it was a constant person during homecoming.
Also, like you had a homecoming buddy, if yeah. you will, like a homecoming, like, because that's the other thing, we all have those people sometimes when we're single, asterisk
right,
we're gonna leave that when we're single asterisk here, yeah. Even though some of y'all niggas be leaving y'all girlfriends at home on purpose, but
which is crazy,
that's another conversation for town. Another time.
That's nuts, yo.
I mean, the only thing crazier than people who leave their girlfriends at home are the people who leave their wives at home on purpose.
That's so
because
crazy,
those yeah. exist as well. But to me, I just think it's funny how people do have like that. That to people try to set it up also a little bit before homecoming, get there like a couple weeks leading up to
facts.
It. Where you're like, who am I gonna set up? Like, who am I gonna set it up with? Or like, who are my options? Where's my potential homecoming roster? Option A, B, C, D. You know, because it's a hodgepodge, and it really a lot of time ends up on circumstance and who you actually manage to run into and see. And you know, there's those looks you get like that look. If somebody give you that look across the yard,
mm-hmm.
like, and you're like, oh, I see what time he's on.
I have a great. Not a crazy story, but a homecoming
Please.
Story where there is a picture that exists where all three of my niggas are in the same picture with me, and it's so random. It's me taking a
stressed.
Picture with one of them. The other nigga is in the background, And the other nigga, like, you can see a side of him, like, just one side. And it's like, wow, it's all three of them in the same, you know, listen.
Happy homecoming in one photo.
For real. For real. So, yeah. And I was definitely, like, you know, I was single during that time. But
of course.
I was saying, yeah, it's like, some people, I don't know, you know. Some people reach out a few days before because they got to check the temperature.
Get Yo, that guarantee, as Darren Brand calls it at A&T.
Yeah. Where are you going? You coming? Oh, all right. I just want to see if he was coming. Yeah,
you going to homecoming this year? It's not because they want to just cheers with you or take a shot with you at the
Facts.
Party, sis.
But it's always been like tailgate for me. Tailgate is my thing. I love it. I cannot wait to go to it again.
No, yeah. I do think the do or rules in general is mm-hmm. very much when it comes to rekindling old flames or like old crushes or, you know, whatever. We all grow and move to cities and get to meet new people who we went to school with and stuff like that. But any of those said situations, staying low is key on that list because a lot of people do treat homecoming like Vegas. Like, what happens at homecoming stays at homecoming.
Which is like,
because sometimes, I'm not saying it's been me, but sometimes you might find yourself making out with somebody at homecoming, then, like, who you ain't seen in a while, and then you go look at them up on the gram, and it's like, oh, that nigga has a whole girlfriend?
you gotta sit this one out. You gotta just walk away. That's
to me,
crazy.
It just be like, I'm like, wow, y'all niggas is bold. Like, y'all just out here. Do you know how many cameras are out during homecoming? Like, the cameras are everywhere. You can get caught in the background of somebody's shit.
They don't care.
I feel like to me, when it comes to this category of homecoming, my most homecoming, like, HBCU scenario of this was one time I was, kissing, or I guess you could say making out with somebody in the hallway of my hotel that I was staying at. I guess technically it was like the stairwell. You know how like hotels have like stairwells? And, like,
right.
We were coming out of said stairwell, and which, you know, nobody's coming up the steps, especially if you're on like the 35th floor. If anybody sees you coming out of a stairwell with a dude, they're not going to think that you guys were just in there remembering the cheer for the football game earlier. It's like, whatever. So we come out of the stairwell. Guess who the fuck is in the hallway?
I don't even have it. Who?
Jesse Jackson.
Jesus.
Civil rights leader. Famous Aggie alum. Noted. It's like, because this is to me the quintessential HBCU experience, because only at an HBCU homecoming can you get caught creeping by a civil rights leader that you read about in history class. Like, why? What?
Yo, that is incredible. Yeah, nah, I've never had that. But that's something to remember. That's something to remember.
It's something to tell the kids about when they're grown. You know, there's a lot of homecoming stories that kids will never, never learn about. But yes, I think when it comes to the whole messy portion of homecoming, which is how people be acting with each other in that sense, it's very much a understanding of, I say, treat it like Scotty says to treat cuffing season. No expectations.
Zero.
Don't think because you and a guy had a moment at homecoming that it's gonna happen, that he's gonna circle back when y'all get back to the same city y'all probably both from.
It never happened. As soon as your feet touch the W floor, let me tell you something. It's away. It's gone. It's erased. It did not exist. It does not exist. Also, stop lying to niggas. This is my last one. Stop lying. Everybody stop lying. Talking about, oh, I always had a crush on you. You don't know. You didn't know me. I hate that
shit. You have a crush
shit.
On me now.
Thank you. You did not know me. You did not speak to me in college. Stop it. Oh, I always had something for you. You don't even know me. You have no idea. Stop lying. Just say you want to get to know me now. Or you want to get to know me for this day or these days, but don't say that you've always liked me. You don't know me. Y'all niggas be straight up lying. Straight up lying just to have a moment.
You know, yeah. I just like shooting your shot under your eye. I get it. The shots are limited. The drunker you get, the messier the shots you take
off. No, but that's when the real shit start coming. Now it's I love that.
It's drunk. Really wild how we've been. And then like you be having a hard time not trying to tell yourself, how is it not fate that me and this person in a crowd full of people found each other? It's like, no, girl, it's not. It's the devil, honestly, and you will be left alone later for it.
Please.
But on that matter, there is one more rule I definitely want to bring up, which is to the young students, current students / young alums on the yard, that is not the time to network. Don't ask me
for
advice.
Don't do it.
At 5 p.m., on the yard. If you see me on the yard after the football game and my sunglasses are on and I have a cup that's probably not what it says on the outside, on the inside, I am not in the place to give you any good advice.
Sound advice.
Because I am here about to make terrible decisions my damn
self. On purpose, by the way.
I'm nowhere in the position to counsel you on your life, because here I am at homecoming still acting a fool. So who am I? I dedicate time when I go to homecoming now, like especially usually the Friday before I get there, my JOMC department, shout out to Crosby Hall, has like a thing for alum and the students to talk, and like I usually do like a little panel or something. Like I dedicate time while I'm at school to make that happen. At the parties and at the yard, not the time to tell me you always wanted to work at BuzzFeed, Essence, Netflix. None of that. It's not
the
time, kids.
Let me tell you something, sis.
Don't give me your card. I'm going to lose it.
I don't got it. I remember I said that to somebody once when I went to homecoming. I said that line. I said, I don't got it. Not I don't have
and
it.
It's like, what is it?
I don't
everything.
Got it. I don't.
Like, what
I'm sorry.
Is the it?
Yes, because if you think that I can give you any sound advice right now, well, first I'm doing well. My face is doing like I am okay. I'm not as bad.
I'm in a blissful state.
Right, I am not as bad as I think I am, because I'd be like, girl, I'm drunk. I'd be telling this girl, you drunk. Whoo, girl, you drunk. But if I can give you the impression that I look like I can talk or I can have a conversation with you, although. Also, during homecoming, I am a crybaby. I cry all the time.
You get emotional when you see everybody.
I get emotional because those faces are like literally, it's art to me. It's like it reminds me of songs that literally hit my heart every time I hear it. And some of those faces are the exact same. So I am very emotional. I'm not in the place to tell you what it takes to be a radio personality. I don't know at this time. I don't even remember.
At that point of the day, I don't even remember how I became a media personality.
Right? I don't know.
How you can become a media personality.
I have no idea what any of this means.
I'm just trying to stay close to my friends, right? Keep my phone charged.
That's another thing. Please respect that I'm trying to make sure my friends don't leave me.
Because like we said, the reception is bad.
Oh,
when you lose people at homecoming, it's really like you at war and you lost like a soldier, like in the fields. And it's like, will this nigga live past today? Will I ever see her again?
I hope so. I don't drink and smoke. I choose one and continue and just decide to stick to one. But one
That's
homecoming,
smart.
I decided to drink and smoke.
Every homecoming, honestly.
No, I can't. That'll make me emotional wreck. But I decided to do that one time, and I lost my friends. And when I tell you, I sat on the curb with a stick.
No!
Eating fried shrimp and fries. I'm trying, but I have like sunglasses on, so I'm thinking that people can't see me or I can't see. I don't know
it's
what's
like,
happening.
Can you leave like crumbs, like fish, like the catfish crumbs?
And people are talking
to me. Not
bread
crumbs, but fried chicken crumbs from the tray so I can find you.
Yo, I was a mess. I was talking to all these people. Everybody's like, yo, you know, Scotty, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, have you seen my friend? And they're like, who? I'm like, my friends.
And they're like, who are your friends, girl?
Y'all don't know my friends, sis? Right? I'm like, I don't know my friends. I was a mess. I felt like I was 6 years old and I could not find my mother. I was losing my mind. So, yeah, if that's you, if you can't drink and smoke, don't try to do it during homecoming. Another time, I'm sorry, this is it. I tried an edible for the first time during homecoming.
The first time?
Sylvia. And I took shots of Ciroc. I won't tell you who's responsible. I'm sure he listens to this podcast. But he said, oh, no, just eat it. It's fine. You won't even feel it till, you won't even feel it till 10 hours later when, you know, that alcohol is out your system.
A lie. The lies niggas tell on the yard is something to be. It's what? Honestly some of the all-star best lies you've ever heard in your life. God. I've actually got an edible on the yard, and this is a don't hand me something. I'm drunk. If I think you're handing me a mint, I'm thinking you told me my breath, like, is my breath a little tart? Like, it's a mint. This is an edible. You know, times the day I wake up the next day and I'm like, what happened? Yeah. And they're like, oh, but when you took the edible, that was an edible? Like, do you love me? Do you care about my life, friends? Like,
crazy shit, dog. Like, I'm crying because that's so many stories that.
Because it's real. And we all have those drunken moments where the crazy things you do with your friends. Like, I have had to knock bitches out, put them over my shoulder, and like get them to the hotel room for their own safety. Like, mm-hmm. We have, in the middle of, you know, breaking up drama or like whatever else, made pit stops. But you know what's funny to me, but the thing about homecoming is you're never more resourceful at multitasking as a unit. It reminds you that you're with the people who you've learned how to do these emergency situations with in the first place. Mm-hmm. Like when people get drunk and it's like, we got this down to a system. All right, she acting up. We know the signs. Get into the car. Order the Jimmy Johnson. We're on our way. It's the only thing that's open right now. Get my Zaxby's plate waiting for me as we stop by to get it. Zaxby's. And then go to the hotel after. Thank you, because that's the only place where I can get wings and things in addition to preparing for the things I have to do for the second half of the day. So yes, let's end this with the two or so, like one or two things that you are the saddest that you won't be able to do this year. Because I think sometimes for me, those usually fall in line with food. Like for me, one of the for sure devastations of my life is that I will not be able to have a cookout tray in the year of our Lord 2020. Cookout, for those who don't know, it's spread out, but when I was in college, it was only in North Carolina. I had never seen a day in my life until I went to A&T. And it's basically like a grill. It's like, literally, it's cookout. It's like if your uncle who cooks the grill, who stays to the grill because he's the one who's good at it, opened a fast food restaurant, that's what cookout would be. And everything is against the environment. Nothing is green. Styrofoam plates, styrofoam cups, everything is shot. But the food, baby, any kind of tray you want, any kind of combination of size and meats and burgers and sandwiches and chicken. And I promise you, it'll never be more than $8. Usually it's around $6.75. Regardless, I'd be like, yo, let me get a cheddar style cheeseburger tray, fries, seasoned fries, onion rings, a hush puppy, and like a cookies and cream milkshake. And niggas would be like, all right, that'll be $7. How? It's the only place where like influx doesn't happen. And I appreciate that about cookout. I am devastated that I won't get a chance to taste that high cholesterol, good ass food. That's definitely one for me. What's something for you that you're really sad that you're not going to get the experience of homecoming?
I would like somebody to take a moment and hit me up on Twitter and Instagram and let me know how Sausage Lady is doing on the promenade. If you know who okay? I'm talking about, how she been, what's going on with sis. If she has an Instagram, please let me know so I can tell her how many days and nights she has helped me leave the drunken place that I thought that I would never make it out of. So I need Sausage Lady to know that, like, she's been it for me. You know, she's always going to be it for me. You are number one, baby. You are the real, true MVP. That's first.
All-star All right. MVP.
All forever. That's first. Thumbs up. thumbs the fuck up diner. I need to go. I have, like, I really thought that I was gonna be in Atlanta. Like, I really was gonna do it.
We were gonna be right there.
I love thumbs up. I also love Flying Biscuit. Jesus, those biscuits be flying for real. Like, them niggas fly. Those
biscuits be flying.
Right into my mouth. And my well, it used to be J.R. Crickets, but J.R. Crickets was, like, lacking. Like, they've been slacking for a minute now. So I had to chill off that. But let me tell you something that never, never, never lets me down. American motherfucking Deli. That's who. Shout out to American Deli. Give me a check. You can pay me in wings. That's fine. I'll take whatever. I love American Deli. Best wings that I've ever had. I know they're going to kill me because there's a bunch of other places. Shout out to Miss Crumpy's. I know that was one. I don't know what happened.
I feel like you
don't
have to. You feel like you have to shout out every place in Atlanta.
No. Because I really, when I say a wing connoisseur, I really think y'all think I'm playing.
No,
I do not play when it comes to these wings. And when I come down for homecoming, I go specifically for wings. I don't. Oh, Mr. Everything's. Another thing. Okay, yeah, and that's it. I'll put my foot down there. Shout out to Mr. Everything. But I don't play when it comes to food in Atlanta. I love food in Atlanta. If you want to tell me more about the other places in Atlanta, let me know. Hit me up on Twitter. I love to have the conversation. But American Deli, wings, anytime. And Zaxby's. And that's it. You said Zaxby's.
I love Zaxby's. I love Zaxby's. Like Zaxby's, I said,
the garlic bread.
Shout out to the Waffle House.
Let me tell you something. Oh, shout out to the Waffle House.
Do they still, are they open? Do they still sell All-Star specials? Like, it's been, I feel so removed. I mean, since the COVID hit, like, is it still, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's
I've seen
so
niggas at the
I've
Waffle House. Absolutely.
I'm sure, because Atlanta is wide open. So actually, I'm sure those ones are niggas still well in business. But, So Cookout was my final one is going to be, and this is an ode to, and I kind of know you're going to pop in on this too, the music and the feeling of, I feel like homecoming is one of those times where I will still only hear certain songs that I hear once a year because they remind me of college. And I think, like, for me, I'm really sad that I'm not going to get to have a, like a, I call it a free zone because it's the place where I lay. I'm forced because of, this is the paradox of being a black woman, but I lay my feminist ways to the side to ratchetly rap out loud lyrics that stand against most of the things I stand for as a woman, you know, and it feels good in the moment. And I feel like it's the only time of year where I just kind of put my head down and be like, yeah, my name is Susie.
And Gucci, thank you.
I fucks with all the followers. You know what I mean? Like, I really am going to, it's sad to me. Yes, people, especially, you know, people swag surf everywhere, but there's nothing like swag surfing at homecoming with the niggas who you actually started doing that shit with before the internet knew about it. There's also just nothing like just hearing that trap, like 2 Chainz. Like, you have, Scotty has a playlist, and I hope that they maybe put it in the details here. It says CAU homecoming, but it's really, if you went to college in the early 2010s, like, this is the playlist for you. I just missed the experience of rapping, sweating rashly, like, with my girls, just drunk, and just everybody knows all the songs, all the lyrics, nobody's confused.
Someone said my playlist belongs in the Smithsonian, so that should pretty much tell you that, yes.
Like, I used it to get in the mood today. I was twerking in the bathroom doing my makeup.
The influence that Make It Rain by Travis Porter had. Let me tell you something.
Want to see some ass?
Oh my God. Like,
let me see some cash. Keep those dollars coming. That's gonna make me dick. That's actually a feminist manifesto. I ain't gonna hold you.
That's
that
it.
Specific.
That's it.
There was some stroke of feminism in that one.
Oh my God. Like, it just.
Shout out to the DJs that, you know, that kept us going. And I hope that you guys are, I'm sure that you guys are all doing your D-Nice lives, at least the A&T ones this
week. I'm sure. Also, it being, like, against the law to not know Nuck If You Buck. And, I mean, you need to know. Knuck if you buck, especially if you're in Atlanta. You are supposed, I know from top to bottom, I know people who only do like two verses and they're out because that's usually when the DJ cuts it off. But if you know from top to bottom, it's important if you went to AUC. Yes.
And if you at least know Princess's verse, you know what I mean? But if nothing else. But yes, yeah, so that is the thing. And it's really just the culture of it. And I think just the experiencing of that culture. And I think definitely this year out of all the years makes me have a higher appreciation for the people who keep that culture going on social media, virtually, all the HBCU Instagram pages, A&T specifically, G-Ho's Do's and Don'ts, that like was is a page that like always carries that for us. And I really feel like as things have gone virtual, it's nice to be able to know, oh, let me go here and like see people post the videos and the jokes. Like we still do what we call Aggie Pride Shot Fest every Sunday when homecoming is supposed to start at midnight, like the start of the full week. And everybody still did that online this weekend and posted that. So like, I love that we're finding ways to adapt and still feel the homecoming spirit regionally, whatever it may be. I just ask that everybody, especially the Aggies, because we're the last ones up. A lot of other people's things have passed. Like, please stay safe. Please stay at home. Homecoming is like, we'll, so that we can all be there next year or the year after. That is my only wish. But yeah, man, shout out to homecoming.
But next year we out here. Do understand we that out we here. Out here. Please, please make sure that you donate to HBCU and make sure that.
Yes, donate.
Or buy some merch. Shit. They make some money from that too.
Is there like is there black owned merch spots? Like for us, it's Hall Pass. Shout out to Tabitha. Hall Pass shop, like they, I love their merch. I'm wearing like actual A&T, like I bought this from the bookstore because I like to give back.
I buy from the bookstore. I've never, like, I buy from CAU's bookstore and also Morehouse's bookstore. So, yeah. Right now I have Xavier University on.
I see. She's. I'm wearing my HBCU on my chest.
Well, my mother stole mine because she's so damn proud of a girl who literally didn't graduate. But yes, there's that. But yeah, so thank you. This was great. Had a good time.
All right, that's our show. Thank you all for tuning in.
Our show is a production of Pineapple Street Studios in partnership with Netflix and Strong Black Lead. Shout out to our team. Executive producers are Agarenish Ashagre and Jasmine Lawson. Our lead producer is Jess Jupiter. Our music is by Amanda Jones. Special thanks to Max Linsky and Jenna Weiss-Berman.
Make sure you share your thoughts with us on the episode using the hashtag OKNowListen. Follow Strong Black Lead on the socials at Strong Black Lead. And follow us too. I'm at Sylvia Obell.
And I'm at Scotty Beam.
Until next time, folks, stay blessed.